Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, where we'll talk about news, education, and opportunities for small businesses on the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and in Washington, D.C. I'm Michelle Yancey.
And I'm Kyle Todd. Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Michelle, how you doing?
Doing great. How about you, Kyle?
Pretty good. It is September is here.
Yes,
September is here. Fall is here. That can
summer
only mean
is almost
one...
over.
Summer's. It's a lovely day today.
Yeah, it's almost over.
Fall Fest. That's what's coming up next. Mm-hmm. Saturday, October 1st, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Fall Fest. Right here on Rhode Island Avenue. I hope everyone's marked their calendars. We have some fantastic vendors lined up. One of those vendors and performers is joining us today to talk about their program here on Rhode Island Avenue, but we'll get to that in a minute. So I've heard that the mayor is going to be joining us.
Oh, really?
At Fall Fest this year. Very excited to have the mayor, Mayor Bowser, in attendance, as well as our council members. Mm-hmm. And all of the wonderful businesses up and down Rhode Island Avenue. So we're very excited about this.
It's getting bigger every year. So
it is. We're trying to keep that sweet spot of, you know, a good, robust festival, but still having it be a nice neighborhood event.
Yes.
But something for everybody from across the city and around. We welcome all visitors to Rhode Island Avenue. Come on down. Fall Fest, October 1st from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The 2,000 to 2,400 blocks of Rhode Island Avenue. So y'all join us.
Do we still have vendor slots available?
Just a couple.
People do if they...
They should visit riamainstreet.org.
All right.
And click on Fall Fest.
It's going to be gone.
Yep. Move quickly. And we've got some fantastic sponsors for Fall Fest lined up. We've got Bazzuto, Rhode Island Row, is one of our sponsors coming back this year. Fast Signs, one of our local area businesses so far. We've got Mid-City Development, Adams Investment Group, and Access Green all coming on as sponsors this year. We're very, very, very excited to welcome our new sponsors. And we will have more to share with you in upcoming episodes. Also want to give a shout out to our sponsors for the radio show and our program, our Main Street program. We thank the Department of Small and Local Business Development and the Department of Housing and Community Development for their grant dollars. It is those grant dollars that make our Main Street programming and this radio show possible. So thank you to DSLBD and DHCD for their great investments in small businesses around DC. Okay, I think I'm done talking for now. Michelle, Okay. You've got someone very important in the studio joining you.
I do. We have Christine Davis here from District Dance Arts that's located right here in Woodridge on Rhode Island Avenue. Welcome back, Christine.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming back. It's been a little over a year since you joined us last time here telling us about District Dance Arts, and I know that things have grown and the program has changed a little bit. Why don't you let our listeners know about some of the changes?
Yeah, well, we're really excited to announce that starting off this fall, we'll be offering classes at two locations. We'll still be at our home at 2008 Rhode Island Avenue inside of the Capoeira spot, but we're also offering a few nights a week classes down the road at 605 Rhode Island Avenue at the Alfred A. Owens Family Life Community Center, better known as the Big Blue Building with the basketball court on top.
Ah, yes. We all have seen that, either driven by it or been on the metro. And Yeah.
It's a really great space. We're excited. They have a wonderful dance studio, and we're excited to reach out to some new families and offer some more classes for all ages.
So what's going to be the primary difference between what is offered at each location, or will there be a difference?
The difference is basically just age groups. We've got a lot more kids joining the program and a lot of kids that started with us when they were little that are now medium. And so we've got the opportunity to offer classes for all ages on the weekends, which we know is really convenient for busy families. And also what's really exciting is we are able to offer our first ever class for adults. We have an awesome Wednesday evening Zumba class that is infused with Latin and Caribbean vibes. So you can come on out and shake a few things, learn a few steps on Wednesday nights at our class at the community center.
Ah, okay. And so what time does that class start?
That class is on Wednesday evening, 7:30 to 8:30. And actually, we're going to kick off that class with a fun, free class on Wednesday, September the 14th, 7:30 to 8:30. Just come on out, try it out, try out a few new moves.
That's a great idea to offer a free class because a lot of people haven't taken Zumba before. Maybe we can convince Kyle to join us.
Oh, come on, Kyle. You can do it.
I think Kyle would be a good...
Only if I can bring some pumpkin.
Oh, yes. Well, I don't know about that. So some of the dances that you all offer, ballet, tap, jazz, hip hop, I think a lot of people know what those are, but I saw that you all offer something called creative movement. What is that? What does that mean? And
creative movement is a wonderful class for our young dancers, 2.5 through 4. It's an awesome way to get introduced to dance, different movement concepts like speed or space or turns or jumps. It's a really fun way for the little ones to also spend some time with mom or dad. That class is adult participation, and adults jump right in with the kids. They're rolling around on the floor. They're making shapes. They're playing dance games. Somehow, our creative movement classes, the kids guide sort of our dance movement story. We always end up at the beach, and there are always dinosaurs. And parents always jump right in and enjoy those classes with kids. It's also a really great way for young ones to kind of get used to a class structure. Most of those students are beginning preschool, so it's a good environment for them to understand following the teacher and being with classmates, and it's a really fun class.
So what age ranges do you have? I know you said that the adult class, the only adult class is the Zumba class, but how early is too early to start dance, and then at what point are they kind of too old for your program?
Oh, too old makes me sad.
Well,
our class is, again, the creative movement, we have 2.5 to 3. To 4, and then our other classes do go up through high school age, 18.
Okay.
So we've got the range.
So you're never too old then.
Never too old.
Because then you have the adult classes as well.
Yep.
Okay. And are the classes offered each day throughout? I know you said during the weekend, but some of the classes are through the week as well?
We do have class Monday through Thursday, off on Fridays, and on Saturdays. Our classes at the Capoeira spot run Monday through Thursday and Saturday. Our classes at the Family Life Community Center are Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Okay. And how many dancers do you have at District Dance Arts now?
We have in the range of 60 to 70 dancers. So we're excited to welcome some new dancers, and especially our you know, adult dancers, into the Zumba class.
That's terrific. Mm-hmm. And how about teachers and instructors? Do you have many more of those now?
We do. We have added three wonderful new instructors to our staff. We have some fantastic dancers trained in ballet and jazz and creative movement joining us from University of Maryland's dance program, fantastic dancers, and also our fantastic Zumba instructor who also has a ballet and contemporary background.
And so I guess people can go to the website to find out how much each of the classes cost. Is it monthly or drop-in?
Our adult classes are drop-in. We understand we've got some busy adults, so you want to come in, get your workout in when you can. Our youth program is an enrollment-based program with a monthly tuition, and you'll see all of our fees on our website. Our classes are priced based on how long they are, so we have some that are 45 minutes, some that are an hour. Some of our advanced students, our ballerinas, take longer classes. And one thing that we do is if your class requires dancewear, we have a uniform that is all included in your registration fee.
Oh, that's good. And then they don't have to go out looking for a uniform. I know sometimes that's tough.
Yep, you're already running around looking for school uniforms. Let us help you with your dance uniform.
Well, that's good. So you said this is starting in the fall. When does the fall session actually kick off?
We kick off the week of September the 12th. Our Family Life Community Center classes start that week. Again, those are Wednesdays and Saturdays. And the week of September the 19th, our Capoeira spot classes kick off Monday through Thursday and Saturday.
So will this fall program run through the Christmas holiday, and then starting next year, you'll have a different program schedule, or do you anticipate this schedule to go throughout the entire 2016-2017 year?
Yeah, we do run the full season from September to June. We do have a fantastic main stage performance in June, but our semester for the fall runs from September the 12th through December 17th, and we are actually going to wrap up the semester with a performance as a part of the Rhode Island Avenue Procrastinators Market. So you'll get to see us.
I was wondering about that.
Okay, doing some things, yep.
So we'll be able to see you in the community, mm-hmm. Okay. And I know you said that you're going to offer a free Zumba class. Do you often offer a free trial class to give people the chance to like it, to see if their kids would participate? I know sometimes people have grand ideas of the little ones participating, and that doesn't always happen. So
we do. We invite anybody who is considering joining our dance program just to come and try out a class. You can visit our website and sign up online to register for a free class. You can download and print out a coupon, bring it with you, or give us a call, and we can talk about the classes that you might be interested in for your dancer, days of the weeks and times. And come on out. If you don't yet have dancewear, we have shoes and leotards that your dancer can borrow. And you're welcome to just jump right in and just see if dance with us works out for you.
That's great. Will you give our listeners your contact information and the classes and the location again?
Sure. Once more? So you can visit us online at districtdancearts.com. We're on Facebook at the same name, on Twitter at DC Dance Arts. You can also give us a call at 202-417-6780. And again, we've got two different class locations. One is inside of the Capoeira spot at 2008 Rhode Island Avenue Northeast. That's Rhode Island and 20th. And the other is at the Alfred A. Owens Family Life Community Center on the other end of Rhode Island at 605 Rhode Island Avenue Northeast. Blue building, basketball court on top.
Easy to remember. I'm glad that you're keeping it in the neighborhood, all on Rhode Island Avenue.
Definitely.
So that's great. Thank you for coming in, Christine, and letting us know about the changes and the updates to District Dance Arts.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
And now we are joined by Philip from Good Food Market. Philip, how's it going this morning?
Good, Kyle. How are you and Michelle doing?
We're doing fine.
All is well.
Awesome.
What's new at Good Food Market today, Philip?
Well, as the chill in the air starts to set in, we've been picking up all of the great fall beers, and many of which are pumpkin-flavored and pumpkin-influenced from some of the best breweries around. And so I just wanted to share a few of those with you as we head into that that season here. You know, from right around the corner, we've got the Devil's Backbone, Pumpkin Hunter, which is apparently named for the huntsman who roams the forest of Nelson County, looking for those big, beautiful pumpkins. And this is brewed to really drink like a slice of pumpkin pie. So you've got the malts with that kind of graham cracker crust taste, and then real pumpkin and spices for the sweetness there. Really tasty. And Dogfish Head has a pumpkin ale, no M, that's an N, pumpkin, which in typical Dogfish Head style has a little bit of tartness, a little bit of sweetness. It's a brown ale brewed with real pumpkin again and brown sugar, allspice, cinnamon, nutmeg, and a great seasonal offering from Dogfish. And then there's an unfiltered amber ale from Evolution, which we carried last year and was really popular, called Jacques O'Lantern. So we'll be having those back in the store. Up the road a ways in Baltimore, Port City's brewing up an Oktoberfest, which is a Marzen-style lager. And Marzens were typically brewed in March. Mars is March in German. And for some reason, back in Bavaria, before Germany unified, you were not allowed to brew beer between the end of April and the end of September. And I tried to find out why that is. It seems hard to believe that you could stop beer brewing for 5 months in Bavaria, but apparently that was the law of the land. So they would brew these lagers in March so that they would have beer through the warm summer months, and then they would finish it off at Oktoberfest. So that's a good one coming out of Port City. And then we've got the Pum King Imperial, lager from Southern Tier Brewing Company. And this one is described, I haven't tried it yet, we're still looking at it, but it is described as pumpkin pie in a bottle. So if you're a fan of, like, the Sweet Baby Jesus chocolate peanut butter porter, or looking for something sweet, the big 22-ounce bottles, they are probably the way to go. And then from the oldest brewery in the world, Weihensteffenhauer, which began brewing beer in 1040 and is still going strong, they have a classic Bavarian-style fest beer. Now, this one's lighter in color. It is not pumpkin-flavored, if you're not into the flavored beer, but a classic fest beer-style Bavarian lager. Those are going to be our fall beer selection. So if you're, we'll be rolling those out this week. So if you're feeling adventurous before the holiday, before Halloween, stop on by and pick up a great pumpkin or, again, not pumpkin, Oktoberfest beer.
Michelle, can you handle the rest of the show?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're getting ready to go right now,
aren't
you?
I'm out of here.
You're out of here. Yeah, I got it.
I'll just ask Rachel to let you down in the basement.
Right.
Never to be seen or heard from again.
You'll be orange the next time we see you.
That all sounds spectacular. How do you have room for all of this amongst your other beers?
We've been hiding them in pumpkins, doubling up on our space.
Because you already have a fantastic beer selection and wine selection.
Yeah, and those summer ones are starting to fade away, unfortunately. Those are my favorite. I love a nice Hefeweizen, those kind of light, tart ales and lagers. So, but we're moving into colder months, and you're going to want something a little more body to it, something with a little more heft. And Sarah has complied with a really great selection here.
Good job, Sarah.
Yeah, she's the best.
Please extend our appreciation to her.
I certainly will. And you can find all those starting this week at Good Food Markets, 2006 Rhode Island Avenue, at the corner of 20th Street. Give us a call if you have any questions, 202-248-8494, or visit us on the web, goodfoodmarkets.com, or at GoodFoodDC on Twitter.
All right, Phil from Good Food Market, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. You have a nice one.
Bye-bye.
I know.
All right, welcome back to the second half of the show. We've got with us a return guest, another return guest, Daryl Maxwell from DC Bar. Welcome, Daryl.
Thank you very much, Kyle.
Get up closer to that microphone, Daryl. We want people to hear you.
I think people like us so much, they just keep coming back.
I see no problem with
this. I know. Good to see you.
Daryl, it's been a while. Thank you for taking time to come back and visit with us. Since we last talked, there've been a few things that have happened from legal employment standpoints. The first of which I think is most confusing to a lot of small businesses, is the whole exempt, non-exempt payroll management issues.
Sure.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
I can. So generally, who might be exempt from, and the exemption is particularly as it relates to the Department of Labor's new ruling, the exemption has to do with who is eligible to receive overtime pay for, I don't remember exactly how long it's been, but it's been at least probably since I was in law school. So that was eons ago. The least amount you could make, or at least the amount, the threshold amount where you would be able, you as an employee would be eligible for overtime after 40 hours per week was 23. I won't remember the number exactly. It was $23,600 per year.
So if you made less than 23,000, whatever that number was,
you automatically were entitled to overtime pay.
Beyond 40 hours a week.
Exactly.
Okay.
So this new Department of Labor ruling has, at least in terms of that threshold number, has drastically increased it. Well, drastically is sort of dependent upon who you talk to. Employers would think it's fairly drastic. Employees would think, well, it's about time. The number has moved, and so we can do this by week. So if you made at in $23,000 a year, that would sort of compute to $455 per week. That number jumps up to $913 per week, which will, you know, which will sort of it'll end up moving out to about $47,676 per year. So all of the folks, and there are lots of folks who are administrative staff, secretaries, administrative assistants. It does not cover lawyers or doctors or teachers, actually.
Oh, really?
I know. And quite frankly, the reason and why this affects, it doesn't affect me personally necessarily, but why it affects lawyers is that you get folks who work in public interest organizations like myself who might be making below this threshold. Doesn't matter. You can work 60 hours a week. You can work 70 hours a week. Lawyers are exempted from this ruling. So, and same with doctors. I have a friend who, you know, works unreal schedule and doesn't make a difference. But again, you've got a 25,000 or so increase, and there are folks who have never been entitled to overtime that now all of a sudden, you know, they're somewhere within that $35,000 to $45,000 threshold. And, you know, they consistently work, and, you know, great dedicated employees consistently work 45 to 50 hours. Mm-hmm. There's a decision that needs to be made by an employer. Okay, well, do I pay the overtime or do I increase this worker's salary to meet the minimum threshold by which they no longer would, you know, necessarily be entitled to
right,
overtime.
Right.
So that is, those are the types of calculations that many small businesses, small employers are going to be faced with. It can be a very sort of challenging idea. And then, you know, you've got employees sort of all over the span as well. So you've got folks who might be who are doing administrative work who are making somewhere around that $43,000, maybe $44,000 number. If they don't, you know, maybe some people who might be getting a little bit lower get bumped up to that minimum level. Part of it is packaging. How do you figure out what to do as it relates to certain employees versus other employees? Who gets up to that minimum number? Who do you continue to give overtime to? Mm-hmm. So, and this regulation from the U.S. Department of Labor came out in May. The implementation phase is right now, and they're looking for folks to be compliant by December.
Wow.
So we're, you know,
approaching that time quickly.
Exactly. Yeah. And because of that, I don't want to freak anybody out, but particularly for folks who are looking at, you know, now this may not be a problem for everybody. This is certainly not going to be a problem for every small business owner, or even folks who are at sort of a medium range. But if you're working, you know, it could very well be a pretty legitimate problem if you've got five or six employees. You've already sort of budgeted it for the calendar year. Okay, well, this is what I can expect. This is what I can expect to pay. This is what we're getting in. Maybe you're working on tight margins. What happens in December? More importantly, what happens in January?
Right.
So, yeah, it's definitely something worth noting and making sure that you're in compliance.
So this seems like it would encompass a group of employees that would fall in the category of middle management, or mm-hmm. like you said, maybe some administrative staff, you know, in a service industry like fast food or restaurants or something like that. Maybe the shift managers, things like that,
right.
May not be making, you know, a lot of money, but they're in that threshold of, we're going to have to pay them time and a half for
right.
those extra 10 hours they work.
And that's a particularly great point, because there are a lot of these folks who, like you rightly said, are in middle management, see themselves in sort of a managerial, you know, they're running a ship. They're running a group of folks. They're likely working more than 40 hours a week, maybe covering shifts for other people, you know, doing a little bit of extra time after. You know, there are folks who are probably logging 20 hours of overtime, and maybe they're getting overtime, maybe they're not. Maybe they're getting overtime, but it doesn't encompass everything.
Right.
And another issue that folks have to realize is, what happens when you've worked 40 hours a week, but on Saturday, you know something's coming in from your boss and you open your email? Is the time that you spent...
Are you working?
Right. Are you working?
Right.
Is the time that you... Is it... And how do you count when you start working? Do you start working when... You turn your computer on?
When your seat hits the chair?
Do you start working when you get the email and you respond to it? Those are all questions, because the Department of Labor is going to be looking to make sure that folks are meeting these requirements. More importantly, you need to make sure that your standards and your practices in your business follow all these rules, because it's very likely, and this happens with a lot of us, you may have worked 40 hours a week. You're making steps toward doing some stuff on the weekend. Maybe you're getting a package delivered to your house. Maybe you're just making a phone call. Maybe you're just waiting for the email. Right. There's not really any way to know or to guess exactly, okay, was when your rear end hit the seat and you wait another 45 minutes until your boss sends you the email. You know, there needs to be determination. Who has access to your office computers or your office's email, your online email access at home? How much of that do you have to cut off? It's very much a sea change and a culture change for a lot of small business owners. And again, within that sort of middle management or administrative worker range, they want to be good workers. They want to be responsive. And for their, and particularly for the folks who manage them, they want people that are available all the time. We're all connected all the time. So everybody wants to have employees who are available.
Right.
But if you have them be available, you also have to pay them the overtime they deserve if they are underneath that threshold.
Right. Because even though there's many, many good employers and good employees that are just trying to do their job and do the best work they can, I feel like this is somewhat in response to those few bad apple businesses out there that were promoting someone to a salaried position, not much higher than minimum wage, mm-hmm. just so that they wouldn't have to pay them overtime.
That's a good point. That's certainly a piece of this that the Department of Labor was considering. I mean, you've got folks who are certainly not getting paid an accurate amount. And a lot of what happens, or at least a lot of the issues when you're doing this wrong, that's normally when you get an employee that's going to complain. Look, I was working 60 hours a week and I was only getting paid for 40 because I was managing two other people.
Yeah.
And
the people that I was managing that were also working over 40 hours ended up making more money than me because they were getting paid time and a half.
Exactly. So that is certainly something that the Department of Labor and the U.S. government generally wants to make sure there's some fairness, accuracy, all that stuff is taken care of.
Right. So how does the concept of comp time, compensatory time, come in? Many, many years ago, when I worked for a state government that shall remain unnamed, you know, we were all salaried,
mm-hmm.
and if we worked overtime, we got comp time. So instead of time and a half pay, we got time and a half comp time that we could take at another point in time. I made great use of that, by the way. I had some fantastic vacations with that.
Well, it's comp time is a difficult subject, mainly because it's just, for the most part, employers are loath to give comp time, and the rules are fairly unclear. You know, Department of Labor certainly goes into overtime, but usually comp time is a decision that's sort of business or sort of business specific. Whether you give comp time, you know, technically as a form of payment that you would give sort of in replacement of either annual leave or overtime, you can't really do it. But businesses do it all the time. Usually it's, you know, it usually depend, like employment lawyers will go crazy if they see that in your employee manual. But businesses, you know, it depends on how your business structure, how big it is, how small it is, whether, you know, and also government agencies have totally different, some totally different rules. But generally, for smaller businesses or for medium-sized businesses, I would say
don't do it.
Or at least avoid it if possible.
Just don't do it. Let's just not muddy that water. Let's just don't do it. So are you going to be offering some trainings around this?
We definitely are. We've got we have a couple of trainings, both live and via webinar. We've also sort of broken our trainings out. Some are specifically for nonprofit organizations because there are some specific rules and regulations that that affect nonprofits that don't necessarily affect small businesses. So, and you know, we're doing a couple of webinars, some on very specific portions of the rule change, but also more that also encompass a little bit more broadly. And I think particularly because this is starting, that implementation needs to start in December. We're going to be doing this a little bit more as the year sort of progresses. But on September 14th, that's going to be a webinar for nonprofit organizations. The webinar is called "Is Your Employee Exempt or Non-Exempt from the New Overtime Requirements?" That will be from on September 14th from 12 to 1 p.m. We've also got another webinar on September 21st, also from 12 to 1, which is the new overtime regulations. What is compensable time? Those, and I can give you guys information about where you can find out how to register. You will be going to the website www.lawhelp.org/DC/CED. And I'm sure my friend Kyle will make sure to add those links to where you can find the podcast. But again, www.lawhelp.org/DC/CED. I should also mention that we are going to have a live training on September 15th at Seyfarth Shaw, which is a law firm. They're going to be talking about how these new Department of Labor regulations affect small businesses specifically. That will be from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Seyfarth Shaw's offices at 975 F Street, Northwest. Let me also plug a couple other things, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we have, and this is actually very interesting, particularly as it relates to our current climate, our current climate with computers and data security. You know, as everybody has seen with the leak for the DNC, or not the leak, but the hack of the DNC, cybersecurity is extremely important. Cybersecurity, as it relates to nonprofit organizations, is also important. Organizations that the DC Bar Pro Bono Center has worked with, you know, they maintain health records. They maintain client information. They maintain, you know, we've worked with organizations that work with folks who have some substance abuse issues. Keeping your data safe and thinking about ways in which you might need to sort of bolster cybersecurity, I think, is extremely important. On September 7th, we are going to be having a webinar from 12 to 1 on all the different sort of thoughts and structures and practices that you should implement to make sure that your data is protected. And lastly, I want to mention our monthly, so the DC Bar Pro Bono Center on a monthly basis holds a small business brief advice legal clinic where small business owners, nonprofit organizations, folks who are thinking about starting a nonprofit or a small business can come in and meet with an attorney for free. This month we are having it on September 21st. As long as you're there between 5 and 7:30 p.m., you'll be able to see somebody. We are holding it this month at D.C.'s Department of Consumer and Regulatory Affairs, which is the business regulator for D.C. And again, you can find all this information at our Law Help site, which Kai will link to and which I've already mentioned twice. But again, if any of these regulations are an issue, or if there's anything related to getting your business started, maybe you have a lease you need to have reviewed, maybe you have a contract that you've drafted, you want to make sure you're not doing it wrong, we can help you answer all of those questions.
Is there a fee for any of these classes?
These trainings and classes that I've just talked about, there are none.
Free.
That's good to know.
All free.
That means free. All
free,
right.
Free, free. Yeah.
All right.
Good. And there's you know, really zero reason why a business or nonprofit should not take advantage of this.
Absolutely. I agree.
Absolutely.
They're accessible. You do them more than once. They're webinar or in person. There's really zero reason not to take advantage of these. This is your business, folks, and you want to make sure you're doing
things
right.
And you have to be compliant by the end of the year. What are the ramifications for not being compliant? Oof. Do we know yet?
I will just say they will be pretty serious. And one of the major issues that happens, and this is a general employment law sort of tenet. Employees that are happy don't normally decide to sue you. Employees that are not happy, on the other hand, are looking for a reason to sue you. And when, you know, if they get wind, and there have been stories about this in the paper, I think on USA Today, just about the new, you know, and in some magazines as well, just about the new law mm-hmm. and changes for employees. Mm-hmm. They're familiar with this. They realize their employer has not implemented any new rules or changes. And again, it's that middle manager type that we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. He or she says, you know, this person that I'm managing is making more money than me because they're getting a whole bunch of extra money in overtime. I should be getting that overtime because I only make $45,000.
Mm-hmm. And I'm here working just as hard.
Exactly. They go to the Department of Labor and say, I'm going to have to drop a dime on these guys because this is a problem. They file a claim. And again, you can find out more about what some of the sanctions are, what some of the potential problems are. But back overtime, just think about back overtime and additional damages as it relates to
money
they didn't receive, right. Plus fees and damages, right. On top of that.
Right.
And, you know,
ever since the law went into effect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, it doesn't really matter how happy your employees are. There are two things that you do not mess with,
yeah.
And that is their paycheck and their time and their leave.
Right.
You do not mess with their vacation time. You do not mess with their money.
Right.
Because
then they need to take advantage of these free workshops.
Absolutely.
So.
And we will put links out about this. Rhode Island Avenue business owners, you'll be getting an email from me soon anyway with all of this information in it and links for you. But this is something across the board, across the country. So for our listeners, you know, in Alaska.
Yes, yes. And England.
In England. Well, yeah.
I know.
Join us on the webinar.
Yeah.
So I will also say about the webinars, we also link to them on that Law Help site I mentioned earlier. We make sure they're all of the materials and the recording is on our website. So if you need to follow up and check, if you had a lunch date and you couldn't reschedule, feel free to come back to it. Take a look, take a listen. If you have questions, you can also reach out to us. You can also reach out to the folks who will be doing the presentations, who will be listed on the PowerPoints as well.
So I can put that link to that permanent housing of the webinar
after it's done. Yeah, after it's done, for sure.
All right, we can put that on our website as well and share it out. Make sure it's a resource available all the time, or at least until they change the laws.
Hopefully that won't happen again for another, I think the Department of Labor is looking at like another 3 years to adjust the number.
All right.
So, but I would imagine there will be some pushback.
All right. Any other DC bar related news and resources for us? I know you, like you mentioned the clinics coming up. Those are great information, and those are all, you can find those on dcbar.org on your resources and training calendar.
Yeah, right? I will add, if I could just add one more.
Absolutely.
I think one more. So I will be sending this out probably by the time you're listening to this, this will be on our resource site, for information that you can use. We have another training. This training is more broadly a business law training series. This is an 8-part series where if you're starting small business or you've been in business for a while, we will march you through all essentially business law 101 for small business owners. It's called our business law training series. We go through sort of the startup phase of your business, everything you're going to need to know about employment law that we can fit into 4 hours, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, talking about joint ventures, what's in a contract and why it's in the contract. A little bit about risk management and insurance. We also do some accounting and fiscal controls as well. This is over the course of 8 weeks, starting at September 27th. This will be held with our good friends at Winston & Strawn, a law firm here in D.C. So this will be evenings from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. We usually accept about 45 to 50 registrants. There is a fee for this course. It's $75 for 8 courses and materials and snacks and food for the evening. So,
oh, my God.
I mean,
spend more than that going out to dinner.
Exactly. So all this information, you'll be able to get it on our resource site. It's been we've worked in concert with D.C.'s Department of Small Local Business Development and with the Washington Area Community Investment Fund to be partners and to help us promote it. Lots of clients from I've had folks from all along the avenue and all over the city. And I think it's been really helpful. Just a quick note about it. I've definitely had some small businesses that have grown since taking the course. I'd say DC Brow is fairly close to here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, folks from DC Brow have taken the course and learned a lot about, particularly about employment law. And it's been helpful as they've grown at a pretty amazing rate, for them to have just some information, some facts and things to sort of consider when they're trying to make decisions. I think whether you've got 50 employees or 6 employees or 2, this is really helpful information that folks should
have. I think any business size, any business life cycle stage, it always helps to get the latest information. Well, Daryl, this has been yet another incredibly informative visit from you. We're going to make sure that you come back the next time that there's big changes, or anytime you've got new series that you want to talk about, training programs, you're always welcome here. Daryl Maxwell from DC Bar. Again, that website is dcbar.org. And we will get information up on our website and links to DC Bar's website. Daryl, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cal. Thank you, Michelle. It's been a pleasure.
All right. We will talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Again, mark those calendars for October 1st from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for Fall Fest. And, Michelle, have a great weekend.
All right. You too.
Talk to you all soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.